Germany has been a close friend of America for decades. That is about to change. Learn where a surge in German nationalism is leading. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. In the late 70s, Germany was considered one of America's very best friends, if not the best. And yet today, if you ask the German people, 85% of them will tell you that they have a negative view of America. Now, the Bible does talk about them being our lovers, and we have literature that will explain that to you. And they became our lovers, let's say, after World War II, when we really had a lot to do with defeating them. And then we spent billions and billions of dollars to rebuild Germany and bring them back into the, let's say, the civilized world. Germany started World War I and World War II, and the Bible prophesies that they're going to start World War III, and all of that's going to lead directly into the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ is going to have to stop it because of all the weapons of mass destruction. Germany has really, along with the Holy Roman Empire, has been a curse on this world in many ways from 554 AD. When we saw the first Holy Roman Empire. And Germany has been the one that has led that empire most of the time. And I want to talk to you about Germany and the Holy Roman Empire and let you know that it is going to become a very great enemy of ours in America and Britain and even the Jewish state in the Middle East. But did you know, and the Bible talks about this a great deal, that Germany and this Holy Roman Empire are called a mystery to this world. This world doesn't understand what the Holy Roman Empire is all about and Germany's role in that empire. They don't understand that. And you can go all the way back to that first head, and there have been six heads, and now the seventh and last head is about to burst on the world scene. And we need to know why it is still a mystery. When it's been such a world power, I mean, it's been one of the greatest world powers in the last few hundred years. Why do we not know more about Germany and the Holy Roman Empire? Notice Revelation 12 and verse 1. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman," which is a type of God's church in this case. A woman is a type of a church. But this is the church of God, and is clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, symbolic of the 12 tribes of Israel. But it's clothed with the sun. Here's what Hugh Rosh wrote about the sun. In 1 second, the sun produces more energy than the entire human species has consumed throughout its entire history. Well, how about that? 1 second. And the sun produces more energy than this human species have used throughout its human history. That is amazing. All that power of God behind a little church, a little remnant of people who were loyal to God when most of them turned away. Notice verse 2, "And she being with child," that is the true church brought, Christ came in through the true church, "cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, there you have it, the 7 heads again, and the 10 horns, or the 10 kings of the last head. 7 heads throughout over 1,500 years of history. And yet, the world finds it such a mystery. Isn't that amazing? And there's a lot of people that are work hard and calculate all this to make sure you don't understand a lot about the Holy Roman Empire and Germany's involvement in that. So Here you have these 10 horns or 10 kings. They're going to be ruling in the last head. Germany is going to be over all of it and really empower all of it and virtually control all of it. And that's the way it's always been in the past. Nothing new about that. And there are over 100 prophecies that tell you what I'm telling you here in this scripture. Just a lot of prophecy about this. Notice this comment that we wrote in our book or booklet on Germany in prophecy. Today, the Germans and the European Union are once again focusing the people's mind on the Holy Roman Empire. European parliamentarian Otto von Habsburg said, he recently died, quote, "The European community is living largely by the heritage of the Holy Roman Empire, though the great majority of the people who live by it don't know by what heritage they live." Now, as you see, since World War II, it's gone underground. The Bible talks about that too, and even talks about that great abyss that they operated under since World War II. But here it is again. It's such a mystery that even the people who are living by that heritage don't even know that they're a part of that. Well, why don't they talk more about this Germany and the Holy Roman Empire and how it went underground after World War II and began to carry on again and prepare for another Holy Roman Empire head, the last one, and because Christ is going to destroy the last one and destroy that empire forever. Very soon, all of this is leading directly into that. Now, the last one, that's very inspiring when you understand what an evil input this empire has been in this world. Here, continuing in my booklet, the people need a more specific focus to stir their imaginations, and they are getting just that. Mr. Habsburg, a descendant of the Habsburg dynasty, which ruled the Holy Roman Empire for 400 years, talked about a crown in a museum in Vienna, Austria, which symbolizes a great deal to the Germans. He said, quote, "We possess a European symbol, which belongs to all nations of Europe equally. This is the crown of the Holy Roman Empire, which embodies the tradition of Charlemagne." In other words, this man's going to be a king, and he's going to rule over everything in Europe, virtually. That's what it's all about. And he's coming in the tradition of Charlemagne. Well, now, they don't tell you that Hitler also came in the tradition of Charlemagne. Charlemagne was like his hero. And Charlemagne filled Europe with blood, converting people to his Christianity, and if they didn't convert, they died. Now that, I mean, there were just rivers of blood flowing in Europe at the time of Charlemagne. Now they tell you about the tradition of Charlemagne, or they'll write about it, but then it ends there. They don't tell you what Charlemagne was really like. And they don't talk about Adolf Hitler, who was one of the most bloodthirsty tyrants ever on this earth. And he headed the sixth head of the Holy Roman Empire. They don't tell you about that, though, because, well, they want to keep that part a mystery. They don't want you to know the truth about Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. They want to forget that. They want to cover that. And they get upset with people who don't abide by their wishes. But here you have this tyrant saying, well, you either convert to this religion or you die. And Hitler loved that man and patterned the Charlemagne's empire was called the First Reich, and Hitler called his empire the Third Reich. He loved what Charlemagne did and tried to imitate it in every way that he possibly could. And yet, it is a mystery to this world. It is a mystery. Notice what, here's an article from by Deborah Cole from AFP, which is an international news agency headquartered in Paris, France. This is January 3, 2017. And it says here in the title, Hitler's Mein Kampf becomes German bestseller. The Mein Kampf outlines Adolf Hitler's ideology that formed the basis for Nazism and the sixth head of the Holy Roman Empire. It says the first reprint of Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf in Germany since World War II has proved a surprise bestseller. Heading for its sixth print run, its publishers said Tuesday. And then they've been just flying off the shelf. And this is about Hitler's anti-Semitic way of life and how he tried to exterminate the Jewish race and did, for the most part, in Europe. And now he's getting popular again. His book is getting popular. Now, most people are downplaying this, but they shouldn't. They shouldn't. It is a sign of what is to come. And we need to understand that. It had initially planned to print only 4,000 copies, but boosted production immediately based on intense demand. The sixth print run will hit bookstores in late January. For 70 years, it refused to allow the inflammatory tract to be republished out of respect for victims of the Nazis and to prevent incitement of hatred. But Mein Kampf, which means my struggle, keeps right on being sold today. The article concludes, partly autobiographical, Mein Kampf outlines Hitler's ideology that formed the basis for Nazism. It formed the basis for Nazism. And it's very popular today in Germany, that book is. The book set out two ideas that he put into practice as Germany's leader going into World War II, annexing neighboring countries and to gain Lebensraum, or living space, for Germans, and his hatred of Jews, which led to the Holocaust. Some 12.4 million copies were published in Germany, and from 1936, the Nazi state gave a copy to all newlyweds as a wedding gift. Now, it's back. And yet, people, well, they sort of hide that, the problem here, and keep it a mystery and don't want to talk about it too much. But this is a sign and an indication of the rise of Germany and the Holy Roman Empire on the world scene again. That's obviously what it's about. It's related to that. Let me read you something from the Encyclopedia Britannica, which says, the violent methods by which the missionary task was carried out by Charlemagne has been unknown to the earlier Middle Ages, and the sanguinary or bloody punishment meted out to those who broke canon law or continued to engage in pagan practices called forth criticism in Charles' own circle. That's a very disturbing statement from the Encyclopedia Britannica. And it talks about that Charlemagne was being so violent and so bloody that even his own inner circle were alarmed. This is the tradition that Europe wants to follow. This is what they're talking about today. Let's resurrect this Holy Roman Empire in the tradition of Charlemagne. Let me read you verse 6 now of Revelation 12. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So our 1,260 years. This is the true church of God had to flee the Holy Roman Empire, essentially, for 1,260 years. That's the power this empire had. And if they had caught God's people, they would have killed them. That's what they did. So in the end time, there is a the church of God, the true people of God, the very elect of God, have to flee for 1260 days. They will be protected by God. But just imagine this great empire that kept God's church on the run for 1260 years. Well, surely we ought to understand something about that history in this world. I mean, that is power par excellence. It doesn't get any better than that. And that's a shame that most people still find this a mystery today. They ought to be educated into that history and know what it all means. That's what they ought to be aware of. Here's just a comment from our booklet. In December 1978, then French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing and German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt held a summit in Aachen, Germany, the main seat of Charlemagne's authority. They wanted to hash out details of the European monetary system, and the symbolism was heavily underlined in both France and Germany, wrote Bernard Connolly in The Rotten Heart of Europe. Now, Bernard Connolly was an insider into that monetary system, and he said that the entire European Union was just a cloak for German ambition. Well, now that sounds like the history of Germany. That's the way it's almost always been. The real motive, you see, they don't want people to know. They want to hide that. They want a cloak for the real ambition or the real motive behind the Holy Roman Empire. They don't want people to know anything in depth. And Paul Johnson goes on to summarize this and says that he's a great historian. We are right to regard the total Christianity of the Carolingian age as one of the great formative phases of human history. I mean, this is a great part of human history. What that Holy Roman Empire has impacted onto this world, in this world. Now, that's something that ought to be alarming to us, but it is a mystery. People understand very little about it. Even those who live under that heritage don't understand it. The great majority of them. That's what Habsburg himself said. Notice verse 3 of chapter 17 of Revelation. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. This is another woman, another church, but this is the Great Falls Church. And it will sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Well, there it is again. Seven heads, and then that last head is going to have 10 horns or 10 kings, and all of it is going to be dominated, well, I'll say even domineered by Germany. That's what your Bible prophesies in over 100 prophecies. Notice verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman. Well, what do you know? It's all a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Well, there's a lot of people that don't want you to know the truth about about Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. That's what it's all about. There are some very ugly scenes to talk about in that history, and they know it. And that's why they go underground, or that's why they keep it a mystery. I will tell you of the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. This is the mystery. And it's called the Holy Roman Empire. It shouldn't be called holy if you understand it. But here again, it's just drunk on the blood of God's own righteous little remnant. Drunk on their blood. Well, it's actually the lukewarm ones who have rebelled against God that God allows to have to experience that. But they're still God's people. They've sinned as well, as we all do, but they've just rebelled against God. Now, this is why God, you see, in this very end time, has to take his own church, his own very elect, to a place of protection. That's how dangerous this world is about to become in many ways, unless there is a deep repentance. And nobody sees that coming. Nobody can see any evidence of that. But verse 6 talks about it ascends out of the bottomless pit. Well, what does that mean? This beast power ascends out of the bottomless pit, out of this underground. All of a sudden, there it is in reality, just like the Bible says. And it just rises up and shocks the world. Here it is again. This time much more dangerous and much more lethal in its killing of people than ever before. Isn't that astounding? And yet it's still a mystery. Verse 12 of the same chapter 17. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, capital L, that's Jesus Christ. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, what good news is that? I mean to tell you, they're going to fight Jesus Christ, and he's going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And notice the good news to you, if you want to be a part of this, or those who decide to give themselves to God's work and do it before that second coming, they are going to be the kings and the priests under the King of Kings. Notice he comes, the King of Kings comes with the kings and priests, other kings and priests. God says already in Revelation 1 and verse 6 that his very elect are kings and priests now in embryo. And they're going to come back and return with Jesus Christ and help him to put down the Holy Roman Empire and other great powers in this world and bring peace and joy and happiness to this earth forever and to the universe forever. That's where this is all leading. Though it looks bad, that's where it's all leading. Jeremiah talks about this same conglomerate of evil, where in Jeremiah 1, verses 11 and 12, I'll just paraphrase it, but it says, he talks here about the rod of an almond tree. It really should read a vigilant watchman or an early watcher. God sends a watchman. He wants to warn people. He wants them to avoid what's coming. But if they won't listen to God's watchman and God's word, then they're going to have to experience what I'm talking about today. That's the tragedy of all this. Verse 13, I'll just read a little bit of this to you. And the word of the Eternal came unto me the second time, saying, well, what do you see? And I said, well, I see a seething pot. And he talks about this is toward the north and the kingdoms of the north. That's the same 10 kings that I was talking to you about previously. And Jeremiah asked, after what he talks about these people forsaking God, both God's own church and the people of Israel overall, the nations of Israel. And God asked Jeremiah two times in verse 11 and verse 13, he said, well, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, well, I see a seething pot. I see this great cauldron of evil. I see it. And he said it, repeated it. I see it. Now, this is something you and I should see. We should see it and understand it and know what it all means and get busy and repent. Europe is looking for a strong leader, and we believe we know who he is, and he's coming on the scene very, very soon. that strong man that they're looking for and waiting for. And all of this you can see unfold. I mean, you can see it. It's not something that should be hidden, but God's own people, 95% of them anyhow, are blind to all of this. They're blind because they're in rebellion and God won't reveal it to them because of that. But you can know, we can all know if we want to and be aware of all this beautiful news about the wonderful world tomorrow. Until next week, this is Gerald Flory. Goodbye, friends.
Germany has been a close friend of America for decades. That is about to change. Learn where a surge in German nationalism is leading. Germans take pride in the legacy of Charlemagne, who waded through rivers of blood to convert Europe to Catholicism. They are snatching up copies of Hitler's memoirs. These alarming trends reveal the potential for a return to Germany's dark and murderous past. Request our free booklet, Germany and the Holy Roman Empire, to learn how Germany has charged down the warpath for thousands of years. Many people are aware of the atrocities committed by Germany in World War II, but would consider them ancient history. These people are completely unaware of the legacy which Adolf Hitler drew upon in creating his Nazi war machine. The earliest mention in the Bible of the German ancestors describes them as vicious warriors. Secular history also uncovers the war-making legacy of Germany. Hitler was merely the most recent and the most brutal of Germany's tyrants. Did you know that the Bible prophesied of his regime, as well as an even more terrible reemergence of the Holy Roman Empire in our day? To learn how German destruction will soon cease, read Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. You'll also receive our free reprint article, The Final Resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire is Here. Gain a vital understanding of the previous six reigns of this deadly empire. Prove how the seventh reign will be worse than the rest. Learn about the perfect kingdom that will put a stop to this evil empire once and for all. All of our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire and The Final Resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire is Here. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.